At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks so much for listening. We've got a good show this week. Jim Nantz, the play-by-play voice of CBS, who will be calling Bills at Chiefs on Sunday night for divisional round playoffs. He obviously had the controversial and wild finish to the Niners-Cowboys game wildcard weekend. So we get into all that and a lot more with Jim Nantz. And then, of course, we have our Train of Thought segment with Sal Licata, where we review some preseason NFL predictions. And Sal has some rants about Wordle, and we have some TV show discussion. So good interview with Jim Nantz, followed by Train of Thoughts. Before we get to it, just a reminder, if you missed last week's episode, Richard Deitch from The Athletic was on the podcast. Former colleague, you're definitely going to want to hear that if you're a Deitch fan. Al Michaels, Tom Rinaldi, 2 weeks ago on the pod, and we ended 2021 with a roundtable with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff. All of those podcasts are in the archives, so check them out, give them a listen, download, and if you can subscribe and review the podcast, it helps immensely. All right, let's get to this week's show. Jim Nantz, followed by Train of Thoughts, right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, he's got the best game of the weekend, had the best game of last weekend, and we'll talk about that. Hopefully, he had a conversation with Troy Aikman, and he is the lead NFL play-by-play man for CBS, Jim Nantz. Jim, how are you?
I'm well. Yes, we loved having the Cowboys and 49ers, and it certainly rekindled a lot of memories around our shop at CBS, because we had that great stretch from 92 through 94, and it was a game that lived up to what we thought it would be. And I'm glad to hear you think that Buffalo, Kansas City is the most exciting game of the four this weekend. I think you're right.
Yeah, I do too. Couple of things before we go forward to Buffalo, Kansas City, just quickly on San Fran, Dallas to wrap up. Before you went on the air, were you aware at all that it became a bit, now I know you're not on social media, so it's different, but Troy's comments became a big deal on social media because he did not hide the fact that he was kind of pissed off that Fox didn't get that game. Were you aware that became it?
Yeah, yes, I was aware. I was told by the truck. I didn't think anything of it, to be honest. Yeah, yeah. You know, Troy played in those games that I mentioned back in the early 90s, and I have great regard for Troy. So there was no way I was going to make any kind of snarky remark about it at all because – hey, I get it. He was sitting through a rather lackluster Philadelphia-Tampa Bay game that was 31-0 at one time, and he has such ties to the rivalry. I mean, I completely understand it, and I love Troy.
I'm not going to lie. When Dallas made it a game there in the fourth quarter, I was kind of hoping you would be like, look at this now, Troy. Look what's going on.
No, and I'm not going to smack talk with anybody else in the broadcasting business, particularly someone that I respect as much as Troy. I didn't think what he said was that big a deal. So I know sometimes things can catch fire. I just didn't think it was that big a deal.
I think for the casual viewer, the person who's not in it like me, obviously, you know, I think there was a lot of confusion for the casual viewer of why CBS had what should have been what would normally be a Fox game. I think there was definitely confusion about that because you hear Niners, Cowboys, and you automatically think Fox. I mean, it's just the way it goes. So I don't think people, Andrew Marchand of the Post had a tweet during this whole thing about CBS paid basically an extra $70 million to get the Sunday 4:30 window, which was very smart on their part, because I'm sure that will prove out to be very worth the cash. But, you know, the casual viewer doesn't know that. And I think that's why there was
confusion. This whole cross flex scenario, that's become a term in the last 5 years. It's been in play in the regular season since I would say about 2016, maybe even earlier than that. So I still get some games during the season that people look at them and say, that's a head scratcher. Why did you guys have Seattle at Green Bay this week? And there are other ones that we've had along the way. Dallas on the road. We used to always travel with teams from our conference. We had Dallas at the Chargers. That was out of Fox's inventory. We had pre-assigned before the season, week 6, we had Dallas at New England. Same thing. In the old days, that would not have been our game. But just a real recent history lesson on this, it's 2 straight years now in the wild card round that we were given an NFC game. Last year, we had Chicago and New Orleans. Not nearly the fanfare that this one generated, but that's 2 straight years. And my understanding is that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that once you get past the wild card round, it falls back in line with your packages. You know, the NFC goes to Fox, and of course NBC's in that mix with the Rams and Buccaneers game, and of course the AFC and NFC championship games belong to their rights holders.
Last thing on last week, because we have to do it. Take me through that last play. You called it right from the beginning, because I went back and listened to the call this morning, and as soon as, you know, Prescott takes off and you said, I don't think this is going to work out. Obviously, it didn't. Take me through two things. Take me through the play and then take me through you and Tony, because it's so frantic. And you've got this, obviously, the situation where the umpire has to touch the ball. So there's a rules issue comes into it. You got to keep the audience informed of what's going on, but you got to see how it plays out. Take me through that last play there in that.
Well, you're right. It's helter-skelter. It's chaos. And as soon as I saw Dak was going to break on a quarterback draw, I was completely baffled by what they were trying to do. You always think of it as, well, you can run a play and still spike it and get the field goal unit out somewhere around 15 to 16 seconds. Well, this was at 14. So in my mind, as I look down on the field and I scan – and I see there's lockdown coverage all along the sidelines and right along the end zone, too. They had sealed the field. I was trying to figure out, what are they going to do? My instincts tell me it's 2 throws to the end zone. Maybe you get Hail Mary 2.0. I had just documented that the Hail Mary term came from the Dallas Cowboys and Staubach to Drew Pearson. 1975 playoff game at the old Met up in Minneapolis, where Pearson caught the ball on his hip. I thought maybe there was the catch, and now there's the second coming of the Hail Mary from the Dallas Cowboys. Or you get a DPI. That's what I was thinking. So the last thing I thought they would do would try to run the ball and risk the clock running out. But it's like anything else. You just call it like you see it. And my instincts told me right away, the first thing was this was a risky play. And that proved to be accurate. And by the way, the effort by the official to get in and to spot the ball, that guy deserves, I think, a ton of credit. And even more so, Jimmy, here you are. You live your life monitoring what's going on television. I want to give Jim Rickoff, Ryan Galvin, and Mike Arnold from my crew, because I haven't seen anybody write this, okay? So if I was writing, and of course I had my knowledge of 37 years of being in the business, the most amazing thing that I saw was how quickly they came up with the all-22 replay with a shadowing of the official and saw the efforting that he made to run, to sprint, to get there in time to touch the football. I haven't seen anybody write or talk about it. I mean, it's like, oh, of course you're supposed to do that. Well, no, you're not. Who would think in the middle of all of this chaos, a playoff game coming down to a bizarre finish like that, that in less than a minute, you could turn it around to do the all the visual tricks that you need to do to find the replay, to shadow box it, and then to play it. To me, it was one of the great production elements I've seen somebody squeeze in a pinch ever. So to my colleagues, a big hats off.
They did have that replay right away, but obviously people are too busy just dumbfounded by what Dallas did. So
it was here we are, we're several days down the road, and I'm still shocked. I feel a little bit, to be honest, let down. You know, we root as broadcasters. We want that last throw into the end zone. We want that last second field goal, that last play of the game. Yeah, we got the last play of the game, but it was a head scratcher. I was hoping to see, you know, something in the end zone with CeeDee Lamb and Jimmy Ward and all these other guys jumping up in the air and maybe somebody coming down with it. And that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. You mentioned the refs spotting the ball. I mean, the refs had one hell of a weekend in terms of, I mean, Cincinnati and Las mm-hmm. Vegas was a major issues there. I thought the refs kind of lost a little bit of control in the Arizona Rams game. You know, you guys are in a tough spot, I guess, with the refs, because I tweeted the only person who seems to kill the refs is Troy. Other people, you know, Drew Brees took a pass in that game. Is it tough for you when you, I understand they get a lot of plays right. They do. But in these moments where it's all magnified and there's so many bad calls, are you in a tough spot in terms of balancing, criticizing the officials?
I don't think we are. And we've never been mandated or told to be careful what we do. No one's ever said anything like that to us. I think that landscape's changed a little bit since everyone went to having an expert to bring in our case, Gene Steratore, who is amazing. So that's, I don't want to call it our fallback position. That's our go-to position. And Gene just has such a great sense of sorting it out. You know, we had another really pivotal play in there in that game. And that was the spot after the run by Deebo Samuel on third down. The original spot had him for a first down, brought the chain gang out first down. We went through, again, a great series of replays, and Gene pointed out where he thought the football should not be to the game line, and they adjusted it, and again, by 2 or 3 inches now, he's short. I thought he sorted through that really well. I do agree it feels like that the officials had overall a rough weekend. In our game, I don't know, maybe there's some Cowboy fans out there who are still going to try to blame it on the official in their minds, maybe not getting there fast enough. But again,
two issues in your game. Obviously, the last play, and then there was the play where the Cowboys ran the fake punt, and then they wanted to leave their punt team out there. Then at the last second, they ran off the punt team on the next play, and then they got called for a delay of game. I thought, now my issue there was the ref wouldn't run out of the way and let them call the play. And I guess you have to give the defense a chance to get their personnel on the field. So that was another issue where I don't think the refs, initially I thought the refs screwed it up, but I was told that they did the right thing. And Tony, and there was another call. It wasn't really close, but Tony was all over it where we thought Dallas came up with an interception on a pass to Kittle, but it hit the ground. And Tony, I think you and Tony both called that right away.
That was a fumble. It was a later what looked like a fumble, but it had skipped into the hands of Kittle. And Tony's ability after the clock struck zero and to help sort it out for everyone was really some strong stuff. I mean, Tony's mind, it worked so fast. And he knew right away that you can't just hand the ball to the center and just go play on your own.
Right.
He really, I think, helped a lot of people understand that moment.
Yeah.
I think this official in our game, I've never met him, the referee, Alex Kemp, I think he's pretty good. I think he's a good one. You know, we got a lot of new guys that are now manning these crews.
I thought that crew,
very fine
out
job.
Of the whole weekend, that crew, I think, did every time there was a penalty, it was a legitimate penalty. That crew, I think.
Yeah. I thought he was really solid.
Here's what I love about Tony, though. Tony did break it down and he explained the umpire has to touch the ball and he did a good job like you just said. But what I love about Tony is Tony's first reaction, the first words out of his mouth were, oh my God. That's what I love about Tony is he gives you that first and then he'll get into the analysis.
Well, he heard me say that whatever I said, you said you watched this morning, but I can't give you the exact words, but the tenor of it was that this is risky and I'm not sure this is going to work out. And Tony's first instincts were, oh, this could work out. And then it didn't work out. So Tony did a lot of, Jim, you were right. You were right. He was, that's just us conversing back and forth. We are two fans that are sitting side by side and just giddy with excitement about being in the stadium, being in the arena and talking it through together as teammates, enjoying watching the game.
Obviously it comes through that Tony's enjoying the game. That's for you. And you've got Bills at Chiefs this Sunday. A lot of people saying this is really the AFC title game. We'll see how it plays out. I wouldn't sleep on the Bengals, but you've got to be pumped up for this game, Buffalo at KC. I want to ask you this, just because we're going into Arrowhead here. Do you have a favorite stadium to call a game in?
Well, the stadiums that are the coolest, and SoFi is incredible, and the AT&T Stadium is amazing. Calling games at Lambeau Field is a treat because I love history, man. I can feel the history. Just it's in the air. So, Arrowhead has this reputation that's deserved about how loud and how crazy it gets. It's also a very cold booth. I don't know what to credit that to, but 30 there feels like 5. I did a game one time there. It was back, I guess, in the Peyton days at Denver, and the Broncos were playing the Chiefs, and I did the whole game wrapped in an electric blanket, and the blanket happened to be white, so it was wrapped all around me. I couldn't wave my arms. I couldn't gesticulate like I like to when I'm calling game or talking to you, but I was wrapped in this blanket, and they took a shot of me from one of the high end zone cameras, and I ended up looking like I was the Pope presiding over Arrowhead Stadium. So for a while, it earned me the nickname the Pope. But no, I got asked earlier today, is there a big home field advantage? You know, we had a regular season where there wasn't really statistically a big home field advantage. But this weekend, other than San Francisco, we saw the home field home teams win. I there's a lot of sneaky, really good stadiums that I don't get to go to often enough. You know, if their teams would get on our air a little bit more, I could talk a little bit about what it's like down in Arizona or some of these other places. But I'll take Arrowhead. I got to say, up in Orchard Park, calling a game at Buffalo, that's a unique experience. And, it's a great spot to be.
Yeah. That game should be – I think that game will live up to the billing. It's in, no pun intended. It's interesting though, because of the way the Bills played against the Patriots, 7 possessions, 7 touchdowns. You know, I think people may be underestimating the Chiefs here. They're only 2-point favorites at home. I think, you know, all these years later, you watch the Chiefs and they're still pulling out these plays that, like, where did that come from? They did it again this weekend. That's got to be, I mean, you can't ask for a better matchup for you to call this week.
We can. I mean, you're right. This game could have very easily been next week.
Yeah.
So I don't want to shortchange Tennessee season. And you said look out for Cincinnati. Well, you got to look out for the Titans. So, you're not feeling it, but that defense is a little better than you think, and they do have home field. If that is worth something, we'll see. I think they're going to actually come out and play a pretty good game. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but I think Mike Vrabel, if I had to give somebody a coach of the year vote, I'd probably give it to Mike. Look, they both threw, both Mahomes and Allen come off of 5 touchdown performances. They both threw a touchdown to a lineman. These two guys, I know that we said it last year when we had their matchup in the AFC Championship game, we might be seeing this one for many years to come. And it's still in the early stages. But you got guys out there in this conference like Burrow. and I don't have to tell you who they all are, Justin Herbert. I mean, it gets tough because there's so many high-quality quarterbacks can lead these teams in the years to come. But it would it surprise you to see either one of these teams, the winner of this game, go on and win the Super Bowl? Not
absolutely
at all.
Not. Right.
Not at all. Yeah. I want to say one thing about Buffalo.
Go ahead.
And that is my favorite thing I saw all weekend was Ryan Fitzpatrick. What he did was one of the great validations for us fans that these guys actually care. You know, we always want them to be one of us. And we know they're getting paid. They're getting paid a lot of money to play these games and play for our team. But do they really care? What does it mean to them?
Right.
Here's a guy that we know his journey has taken him to a lot of stops around the league. But there he is, sub-zero wind chill factor, shirtless, man of the people, sitting in the stands, cheering full-throated, lustily for the Bills. I mean, that felt good. The fan side of me just loved it. I mean, I just thought it said so much about him. And I made this comment earlier today. I don't know what his second act's going to be, but I'm going to predict it's going to be huge. There's something about him. I've gotten to know him virtually every stop along the way in his NFL career. And maybe he's not even finished playing. But he wasn't doing that to try to generate attention.
Right.
He probably didn't even know the guy that shot it was going to post it. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah. He's always had a way with a sense of humor and a way with phrasing things. I've been in countless production meetings with him through the years. I've always said that is a guy that will be, if he wants to be, a great piece of television talent down the road.
I like and that. That's good.
I think that's there if he wants it. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely make a run at him if somebody ever asked me.
Maybe there's something
else he wants to do. But the thing is, he's very real.
Yes.
And that's a quality that's worth a lot.
Yeah, I'd love to see him get into TV for sure. And the other story I loved from the weekend, that's a good one that you mentioned, Fitzpatrick. The other story I loved was Jason and Travis Kelce's mom in Tampa, 1 o'clock to watch Jason and the Eagles. And then she was in KC for 8:15 to watch Travis. And then Travis throws a touchdown pass. And I thought that was pretty cool that she was able to
do that. Donna is her name. She didn't get to Arrowhead in time to see his touchdown catch, but she got to see his touchdown throw.
Right.
And you know, when I first started looking at that story, I thought, well, that's really nice. The two brothers, you know, she got to see them both. She obviously jumped on a private plane and made it there. She flew Southwest. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you have thought?
I mean, I just
kind of thought that's how she pulled it off.
Yeah.
She flew commercially.
Sure.
And the flight was delayed a half an hour. And it's a cool story. She's from Cleveland.
Yeah.
She and my mother-in-law actually, I think, know each other from way back when the Kelce boys went to the same high school as my wife, Cleveland Heights High School. Okay. So that family has a lot to be proud of. And I think Jason gets obviously not as much attention as his brother does, but it's a great family, and they're just two terrific players.
Yeah, for sure.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
Moving on, a couple of things, not about the games you're calling, but you know, if I have you on, I have to ask about John Madden, who you overlap with there at CBS. Obviously, John passing away around Christmas time. Well, give me like sort of the timeline of you working with John at CBS before he went to Fox.
I started at CBS in the fall of 1985. Pat and John were still, you know, relatively early in their run there. I think that was year four for them. But I didn't work directly with him, but was there a lot of interaction? Yes, there was a ton. We would have our annual seminars. I did a lot of games on CBS radio. And I would run into John in a lot of places along the way. I actually did sidelines one game for Pat and John in 1987. That was not a strong suit of mine. It's the only time I ever got asked to do it, but it was during a replacement game in the strike season of 87. It was a game at Giant Stadium. So I went through the production meetings and all of that. Later on, I got to, along with Phil Simms, we actually did the Madden game together for 5 years, which was such a kick. Loved it. Still hear about it all the time from kids who had the game from that span. But more importantly is that John, as far as my time with John, John had a home down in Carmel, California, right off of Ocean Avenue. My home is in Pebble Beach, about a mile away. So I would see John from time to time down that way. Not nearly enough. In fact, we always have regrets sometimes when we lose someone that we know. And I tried to explain this to Sandy Montag, his agent, my agent, John. And I would say this to Sandy through the years. He's the least intimidating guy of all time. He totally could relate to anyone. There was something about his presence that I found myself in a kind of an awkward, tongue-tied kind of way when I was around John. I kind of didn't know what to say. And I should have probably tried a little harder. But that didn't mean we didn't get together on occasion, have breakfast at Katie's place in Carmel and sit around and have one of his famous, what he called, hangs. He loved the hang. And you never wanted to be the first one to push your chair back and, quote, break up the hang. So, I just loved him and admired him. He and John were such iconic figures and role models to me. When he passed, we got asked to do some live tributes to John, and everybody talked about one of three things, either his Hall of Fame coaching career, his broadcasting career, or the Madden game. I wanted to talk about John the person. And John the person to me was someone who was never rushed. Listen, when you're spending your week on the Madden Cruiser and you're stopping off in places out in the middle of America and pulling into a diner and holding court and having a hang with complete strangers, it's a pretty cool thing in this busy world that we live in.
Yeah.
John was, he was just a great person. So I want to remember him for that, as opposed to those three facets of his life that were business, hugely successful business enterprises that he excelled in. He excelled in life even more than he did as a coach, a broadcaster, or even a video game content provider. He was one of the most golden, successful lives and people I've ever known.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I wonder if anybody could do today what he did. Like, you're talking about the hang and just him in a diner talking to people. You know, if you or another broadcaster tried to do that today, someone's sticking a phone in your face, they're recording you, it does feel like what he did at that time, and even his broadcast career, he didn't have to deal with the internet and social media. You know, there'd be people probably criticizing him for God knows what. It does feel like his passing also signals sort of also the passing of an era where you can't sort of be that way, and just be out there because everyone's looking to get you, it seems like, in this day.
Well, in his own way, though, he was never invisible. Just even take the travel. Because his buses, as time went on, were marked. So, you know, he pulls into a town in Kansas. You know how quickly, you didn't need social media to know that John Madden's in town. He's at this Greasy Spoon right now having lunch. And when he would finally leave a table after shaking every hand and taking every picture with everyone in the cafe, and he made his way back to the Cruiser, there was a line of people. I've had so many testify to this, that were witnesses to watching how they were lined up to shake his hand. It was almost like one of the old bandwagon political train stops on the campaign tour along the way, because he was available for everyone, and everyone could relate to him. And isn't that when it's all said and done, if people can say that about you, that you had time for them and that you treated everyone with dignity and respect, that's a great life. That's one of the nicest things you could ever say about someone.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was amazing to see just the stories that came out, and not a bad word about John Madden after his passing. Switching gears, you missed the last week with COVID with CBS there. How was your battle with COVID, since everyone seems to be going through it?
With total recognition and respect for people who have had it far worse. And we know, of course, how bad the consequences can be. I was one of the very fortunate ones. I didn't even have a ripple of symptoms.
That's good.
Wouldn't they even known that I was ill, other than a couple of bouts of fatigue. And I had taken a test because I was expected to attend a dinner in Nashville. And I wanted to be sure before I went into that dinner that that everything was clean. And we had home tests. And I was, needless to say, I was shocked when it came back positive. But it gave me the chance to sit back and watch a thrilling week 18.
That was my next question. What was that like for you to be at home for an NFL Sunday? When was the last time
so
that
bizarre.
Ever happened?
Yeah. It was so bizarre. First off, you missed your teammates. And I guess under the CDC protocols, I could have been working on Sunday because I never had a fever and I never had any symptoms. And that was Sunday was more than 5 days past the test. But I enjoyed the Charger Raider game. Are you kidding me? I mean, it was fun to sit back as a fan and just take in a game that way. Yeah. And listen, again, under the heading of I realize how fortunate I am that it never really had surfaced as any kind of a significant case here. The timing of it for me, I mean, it could have been this last week.
I
would have missed San Francisco Dallas. I mean, just again, I know this is going down a territory. You can't time these things or anything like that. And I'm not in any sense belittling it at all, but I just got very fortunate that it happened on week 18 when our best game, our doubleheader game, which we were going to always do the 425 game, was Carolina and Tampa. And we've got a stretch coming up, as you know, Jimmy, of the playoffs, AFC Championship next week. There's some golf out on the West Coast, which are usually some of the highest rated PGA Tour events of the year out at Pebble Beach and LA and Phoenix. And lastly, the NCAA Tournament of the Masters right behind it. So you never can time these things. And I'm just very fortunate that that I didn't have symptoms and that it happened when it did.
Well, when you were home that Sunday watching the games, did you find yourself internally critiquing the play-by-play people you listened to?
No, I don't. I'm not wired that way.
Yeah.
I cheer for people. Yeah. I'm not critical.
Well, I don't even mean negatively, but it could have been, I would have went here with that, or he could have said that there, more constructive criticism.
Oh, I watch as a fan. My first reaction when I knew that I couldn't make an appeal and get CBS to rethink the 10-day waiting period as opposed to 5, I was just elated for Tom McCarthy. He's such a great guy and such a pros pro, wonderful play-by-play man. I didn't get the game. I was in Nashville. We got Miami and New England. And I thought I'd be able to get the game, but I got just snippets of it on Red Zone. But I was really excited for him. And watching games, I don't question why someone phrases a play-by-play call a certain way. We all have different styles. And all of us also, by the way, we have to adapt to the people we're working with. Right. Like in some cases, it's just you understand that. I don't have to.
If Tony is so unique that, the play-by-play, if he goes and works with someone else, they've got to adjust to Tony more than, Tony adjusts.
Well, the thing that with Tony is his enthusiasm and spontaneity. And we always talk before we did our first game is we want this to be conversational. Which is a little bit maybe different. I don't want to sound like I'm calling play-by-play and I'm over here in this box doing what I'm told to do by description of the job. And you're over here and we're calling two separate games. We actually, instead of, I'm going to look straight into this camera, instead of facing the field like this and he's over there facing the field like that, we call the game like this. Our bodies are angled at 45 degrees. Now, we have in front of us a whole series of monitors, I think five in all. So if he's here and he's looking past me, he can see when they're breaking huddle. He can see the line feed, and I can see the same way. So we will turn when the play starts, look down on the field. But we're calling a game like this.
Right.
I don't know how many people, maybe a lot of people do that. I hear it's unusual. But take the Dallas game at the end of the game. We're talking toward each other, and we're at the same time able to see how Mike Arnold is cutting it. So we can see and relate to, oh, that replay that I discussed earlier that comes up so quickly with a shadow box on the official sprinting to mark the ball. We can react to that, and we're looking at each other's eyes. And I don't know. I like it that way.
One of the things I enjoy thoroughly that Tony's been doing with you, I don't know if you enjoy it, but I like when Tony asks you for a prediction when a field goal kicker is about to make an important kick. And Tony will also bring up you jinxing the kickers, which
I know,
as fans, we enjoy thoroughly.
The other day, when Robbie Gould had his first attempt, which was from 53 yards, he made it. And then I said, he's now 16 of 16 in his postseason career. He's never missed in the playoffs in his career. And he said, I saw what you did there, meaning that you set it on the back end of the kick instead of setting it up. You know what? He was right. It was in my head that if I say it right now,
Tony's going to bust your chops.
He's going to miss, and it's going to be my fault.
Yeah. Anyway. I like when Tony does that. And he'll ask you, is this guy going to make it?
We're just two guys watching a game together, and we're looking at each other, and we're laughing and conversing.
Here's the most ridiculous question you're going to get asked this week. So, you know, obviously with the playoffs now, everyone's focused on one game at a time. So you listen more closely, you pay attention more closely, you're noticing things you may not have noticed during the regular season. Why is CBS still make you wear the jacket with the CBS logo? You're the only network that does that.
I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you this.
Can you say to CBS, like, I want to wear one of my classic quarter zips and askew the jacket with the CBS logo?
I like wearing the blue blazer. Okay. Now, here's why. And no one ever asked my opinion on this. I like uniformity. I like being a part of a team.
Yeah.
So instead of me going out and coming in with some great looking suit and I want to outdress everybody else. No, I don't. That means nothing to me. I want to be part of the team. That's our uniform. We wear uniforms. Okay.
You do.
That's something to me. It's too individualistic otherwise in my mind. Yeah. I like the consistency and the fact that it says we're all in this together.
Now, Al Michaels was on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling an old story about Howard Cosell would wear the yellow ABC Monday Night Football jacket in the lobby of the hotel so people would flock over to him. You don't wear the CBS jacket outside of that booth, do you?
No. No, I'm not trying to draw attention.
Just got to make sure.
I can't say that I have ever done that. Now, in my early days of the career, they gave us a blue blazer, and they had this contraption. It was the CBS eye, and it had this – it folded. So you could put it into the breast pocket and fold it over, kind of clasp on there. So you put it on. If you look back at some old footage, you'll see these really clunky and oversized, not sewn in – eyes, CBS eyes. So anyway, they gave you the freedom to take it off and put it on the inside breast pocket and go out and wear a blue blazer. But I can't say I've ever been caught wearing the CBS blue blazer in public.
It struck me because none of the other, you know, Fox, ESPN, and NBC, they wear the regular clothes. So
yeah, you know, it's
CBS does have more of, they are a traditionalist network, it does seem, compared to the others.
Well, there are some traditions unlike any other, if I can say, Jimmy. And that is one I happen to like. I don't get a vote in this. I hope it never changes. If it does, I'll adjust. But it also makes my life a little bit easier instead of trying to figure out what,
right,
you know, dazzling outfit I'm going to strut into the booth with, which would not be something I would give any great consideration to. By the way, I didn't realize until today, because last time we were doing this together, and I always listen to your podcasts. I didn't realize we were going to be Zooming it, but someone asked me, might have been you, like, do you always wear, I mean, are you, do you ever wear a pair of jeans?
And, I didn't ask that, but that's a good question.
You know, hey.
We've got jeans on. Yeah. Jim Nance in jeans. There we go.
6 days a week.
And that's not a quarter zip. That's a full zip. Is that a full zip?
It's a cold day here. It's we had a snowstorm a couple of days ago. So I'm bundled up. I've been down working in the garage, trying to clean up some boxes and sweep out the garage. So
we
part of the preparation for the AFC divisional round.
Now, listen, a lot of people come on here and they say, oh, I listen to your podcast, and I don't always believe them. I think there's a lot of BSing involved, but you must listen, because when I had Kevin Clark on from The Ringer, I talked to Kevin. You had a great appearance on his Slow News Day edition, and you got into a lot of stuff about the quarter zip with Kevin, and you texted me, and you obviously listened to that interview. So
yes,
when you say you listen, I have to believe you, because you texted me about the quarter zip conversation with Kevin Clark, which I loved. And well, were nice enough to send me.
I'm a big quarter zip guy. I actually saw a few folks this weekend were wearing the quarter zip, the three layer. That got some attention at one point in my life. shirt, quarter zip, jacket. I don't know, Jimmy, should I go quarter zip this weekend in Kansas City? I mean, I'll let you listen. I'll give you a wardrobe credit if you want.
I think you, well, listen, you, the temperature is obviously, now you said Kansas City's cold, so you're going to be cold, even if it's, you know, even if you're
we
not.
We might wear parkas. Tony gets, he likes to wear a parka when it gets sub 32. So
if Tony wears a parka, you have to wear a parka.
I want, again, uniformity. Uniformity.
Right. What we need is, we need Tony in the quarter zip to promote the quarter zip. That's what we need.
Can I tell you the hardest decision I have to make every week?
Tell me.
In terms of like what I'm going to do as far as my game, because you get into the process of preparing and all that, and I love every minute of it, reading and reading and reading, talking to the players and coaches and coordinators. What color tie am I going to wear? What color tie? Right. And you never want, not that anybody ever makes that big a fuss, but I have gotten mail through the year, and I'm sure other people have too. If you happen to make the knucklehead decision to bring a tie along that happens to match up with the color of one of the teams.
You can't wear red this week.
I can't wear red. I can't wear blue.
Right.
So this is a little bit of a dilemma for me. Most of my times are red or blue. What are you going to wear that that'll win? Are you going to wear orange? Well, that's a little too bright. You know, you're going to wear green. Well, that sounds something more around Augusta time, you know, spring-like. Yellow, that's spring. I mean, where am I going to go with this
thing? Is gray too boring?
It's a little on the dull side. I don't think I have that many gray ties. Maybe I go with purple, the blend of two primary colors.
The purple will work. You won't offend anyone with the purple. It should be, purple might have to be the way to go.
All right.
Purple tie. We'd love to get Tony in a quarter zip at one point, but we're going to go. So it'll be purple tie. We got the CBS jacket and a parka. That's what we're looking for here. In Kansas City.
Well, I'll have to make sure that we'll keep the parka open enough to flash the purple tie.
We will be looking for
otherwise,
the purple tie.
This could be all the way up here, but I think we'll be all right.
Well, enjoy the game. I appreciate you coming on. And big two. These are the best for me. These are the best 2 weeks. I don't count the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl to me is for the fringe fan. It's not for the diehard who's there for 18 weeks. For the diehard who's there for 18 weeks, this week and next week are the two best weeks by far. And you will be there for Buffalo, Kansas City, and then the AFC title game. So I guess, so you'd be in Tennessee if the Titans beat the Bengals. If the Bengals pull off the upset, then you'd be in one of the other two places, I guess, Buffalo or KC.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Only Cincinnati can't host next week. I'm going to give you a little
heads up. The Bengals have to win that game. The Bengals have to win.
I'm going to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're not a big golf viewer.
Yeah.
But next week, we're going to do something a little out of the box. CBS has this season premiere of the PGA Tour, the Farmers Insurance Open from Torrey Pines. With the NFL going to 18 weeks, that moved the NFL all the way up another week, so it closes out February 13th. What it right. does is it now falls on a weekend now that normally the golf right. would be running unopposed to the playoff action on championship weekend. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, for sure.
So San Diego is what we call the Farmers Insurance Open for Torrey Pines. Yeah. That normally was the week between the AFC NFC Championship weekend and the Super Bowl.
Right.
Alas, that open weekend was one of the highest rated golf events of the year.
Right.
And it's beautiful. People living their life vicariously in the dead of winter, et cetera, et cetera. So now what our folks in concert with the tour have done, and a very, I think, very cool thing that Sean McManus and David Burson came up with, again, with Jay Monahan's blessing, is that Friday and Saturday will be the CBS broadcast days. The tournament will start on Wednesday, and we'll be into prime time on Friday and Saturday nights with the third and fourth rounds.
So even on Friday, it'll be on CBS?
On CBS.
Big network.
From 5 until 8 Eastern on the big network.
That'll
do
well.
So it's not playing on Sunday.
Right.
Okay, so it's not playing on Sunday. That's next week. It's going to have a big field, and it's going to be on in prime time. Right. Up to 8 o'clock, so we're saying it's prime time.
And here's and we'll wrap it with this. I mean, all of this scheduling that you're mentioning, it's all getting geared toward and headed towards where we get the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. They're going to add the extra game. When do you think we're going to get there? How many more years?
I'm not a fan of extending the season by another week. I would have been perfectly happy, like Tom Brady expressed recently, if we kept it the way it was for the records and everything. It felt right to me at 16 games. I would rather not see it go to 18. It does feel a little inevitable that maybe it's going to head that way. But just for next week's purposes, wherever we're going to be, whether it's Nashville or Buffalo or Kansas City, I'm going to call the golf and the football game on the same weekend. I'm going to call it from the stadium. So we've seen a lot of remote broadcasting these days. But
you're going to call the golf in San Diego potentially from the booth in Buffalo.
If Buffalo hosts next week with snowbanks on the perimeter of the stadium, I'll be 2,500 miles away from Torrey Pines, calling the golf Friday and Saturday night from the stadium on CBS, and then turn around and call the championship game on Sunday afternoon. We're going to be the early game next week. We're going to be the 3 o'clock game.
I would imagine out of all the sports, golf would have to be the most difficult to do that way remotely. Am I right?
Only done one event remotely. Was this actually the same tournament last year, because it fell again on that week between the championship games and the Super Bowl, and it was our turn to call the Super Bowl. And Sean thought, you know what? The vaccine was not available at that point for all of us. And he didn't want me to risk breaking up the team. So I stayed at home and called that golf event from Monterey, California. But in this case, I'm going to call it from the AFC Championship game.
But I would assume golf is tougher to call remotely than an NFL game. Am I right or wrong?
Well, have never attempted that remotely. My dog is trying to chime in here a little bit.
The dog wants to wrap up the interview.
I think golf. Listen, I've got great teammates who could definitely take it and run with it. But you know, you got all the mechanics that coming on the air, taking us off the air, in and out of commercials and setting up big moments and things like that. I relish this opportunity to be able to be a part of our season premiere. I wouldn't have wanted to miss it and still, of course, be there for the AFC Championship. So it's going to be a fun week, balancing the prep that goes into that game, the meetings with the teams, our production meeting for the game. And again, because I'm riding on the shoulders of a great CBS production team, a lot of people who are going to have me covered. I mean, I'm not looking at this like it's going to be difficult. I look at it as going to be enjoyable and a fun challenge to take on. I think that this is the best weekend of football. The divisional round to me and we've got four great matchups. Like, this is my favorite weekend of the year. Yep. And I love the fact that we're actually batting cleanup here. We end up in the fourth spot because I get to sit in Saturday per protocol too. Can't leave the hotel, but I get to sit back. We'll talk a little bit to the Bills in the afternoon on Saturday. We'll have a production meeting by Zoom. Food will be delivered to the door in my hotel, but I get to sit back and watch two great games. And then Sunday I will leave for the stadium early enough to watch the pregame show before Al, Chris, and Michelle call that one and that the game that precedes us. And I'll sit back and watch all three games. And I love it. I love the fact that you got four games. You know, when you start getting down to just a two-game weekend, I just miss the tonnage of games, you know, exactly. For me. That's just the way I'm wired.
I agree. And CBS, I mean, talk about coming up, you know, everything coming up gold for CBS. You ended up with San Fran Dallas, as we talked about at the top. And CBS is the network that gets the extra game this week because they'll have Tennessee and Cincinnati with Ian Eagle and Charles Davis.
Well, you know, it's I think it's pretty equally dispersed. You know, week 18, again, I missed the week, but we lost the Raiders and the Chargers, which was out of our inventory. And I can completely understand why we did. And we were left with a Pittsburgh-Baltimore game that was in the early window, which ended up being a great one. But in the 4:25 window, we didn't have a whole lot. It's just the way it works out. So some weeks it's thin, some weeks it's gold. And, I mean, we've struck gold thanks to the schedule makers at the NFL the last 2 weeks. I really like our games and our placement.
And you should. Yep. I enjoy it. Buffalo, Kansas City, and then the AFC title game with a lot of golf surrounded by that for Jim in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. All right. Stay safe.
Great to visit with you. Thanks, man.
Okay. Be well.
Appreciate it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
All right, joining me now for our weekly Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
I mean, look, it's going all right. It's actually not bad, but that was a rough wildcard weekend if you don't love favorites, and I usually don't, so I had a rough one.
Yeah, the blowouts galore for week one. How are you feeling? Is the COVID battle over?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the COVID battle is over. I still feel occasionally the COVID cough, which I've learned. It's a little bit in the chest with a minor cough, but it's getting better. Think about this, though. It's as we record this, it's January 19th, right. And I had it at its worst on New Year's Eve. So you're talking 3 weeks, and I'm still not 100%. And I was just reading about Stephen A. Smith. And
that's why I was going to go right into that. The Stephen A. Smith stuff is crazy.
Yeah, I cannot believe. I mean, I didn't know that. I'm assuming it wasn't public until he just came back, but yeah. He had to be hospitalized by it. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Vaccinated or not, it's, you know, whether you get it, whether you have effects or not. I mean, some people have symptoms, it's mild, whatever, but it's obviously very dangerous. And as somebody who's had it, as I said, I don't think that you would want it one way or another.
The crazy thing is Christmas and New Year's was just complete and total pandemonium here in New York with it. And now we're on the downside and the numbers now are going down every day. So hopefully here in New York, at least, there's light at the end of the tunnel with this.
Right. Because seems crazy. Like it's calmed down.
Yeah, thank God. Obviously, the holidays must have. Now watch, the Super Bowl will come and then the numbers will go back up.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, before we get into some other topics from the weekend, we'll get into some NFL playoff stuff. I was randomly cleaning out the notes, some of the notes items on my app on my phone. And I saw I had a note in there with our preseason over-unders and predictions.
Oh, God. And I was awful.
You were terrible, yeah. But you did good with your... So I'll go through this real quickly, just because I always do well with this. This is the only thing I do well with betting. If anyone's listening to this, don't listen to my picks, but when I do MLB and NFL over-unders, I always do well with this. It's crazy. I was 4-1. You were 1-3-1.
Okay.
So your lone win was the Patriots over 9.5. They won 10 games.
Okay.
You lost the Giants over 7, which was an atrocious pick.
They had right. Wins.
You got a push with the Colts. Their total was 9. You had over. They finished with 9.
Why so the hell would I even take the over Colts?
And you got remember that. And that last week they lost to the Jaguars. You could have been a respectable 2-3 instead of 1-3-1. And then you went under 12 on the Bucks. They won 13 games. And you went under 8.5 on Arizona.
Right.
11 games.
Yeah. By the way, that was the right pick because they suck, the Cardinals. I go under the Cardinals because I don't believe in Kingsbury and Murray. They have a decent regular season and then they complete no show in the playoffs. So the principle of that was the Cardinals stink. Kingsbury's a horrible coach and Murray's not that good. So it was right. Wrong pick, obviously, and it was a loser. But the principle of it was right, that Murray and Kingsbury are a joke.
I thank you for giving the listeners a little insight into the mind of a deranged gambler because the total was 8.5. You went under, they won 11 and you said it's the right pick.
Right. So I love that. Well, look at them. Did they look like a team that won 11 games in the playoffs? Well,
the first half of the season counts.
No, it shouldn't have. No, shouldn't have. Apparently they, not. Did they do anything that resembled anything like a decent football team? In
We're talking about season totals. The whole
right.
season.
No, counts. Well, right. But the point is, Kingsbury's a joke. Yeah.
Was 4-1. That's right. Why.
Oh, this is why you brought it up, of
exactly.
course. Exactly.
Yeah, Bucks over 12, winner. Packers over 10, easy winner. The Steelers over 8, which I needed that in real life. Over 8.5, they won 9. And then I had under 9.5 Miami Dolphins, they won 9. And I had under 7 for the Raiders, my one loss, where they went over 10. Now, we did postseason predictions, and this year you did well.
You this had is from the beginning? This is from the beginning, before the season started?
The right. week before. You predicted a Buffalo Bills-Indianapolis Colts AFC title game. So you okay. still have a shot with one of those teams. And then you predicted a Packers-Rams NFC title game, which okay. is happening this week. So I give you credit for that.
And I actually think that is going to happen.
And you had the Packers winning the Super Bowl, and they're the favorites right now.
Did I have Packers Bills?
I don't remember. We didn't do that. I don't remember. Okay. I didn't put that down. I had picked a Chiefs Browns AFC title game. So that's okay. pretty bad. The Browns didn't even make the playoffs.
Oh, you can still get one.
Packers Bucks NFC title game.
You can still get alive, that.
And I picked a Chiefs Super Bowl.
Okay, so yeah, that's all still alive. That's actually not bad. I mean, I know it's kind of chalky, which I got away from that during the year. I stuck with the Bills. I just have a feeling it's going to be the Bills' year, even now. I feel that even more so, maybe. But, the Packers, who knows?
So I'm glad you brought that up because I cannot get a feel. I have a feel for most of the games this weekend. I love the Bengals against the Titans. I think the Packers will beat the Niners. With Garoppolo having an injured finger and shoulder, and it's supposed to be 0 degrees. That's a bad combination for the Niners.
Right.
The game I have no feel for at all is Buffalo, Kansas City. I don't know who's winning that game. I don't have a feel. I don't know. I mean, obviously I could see it going either way. I think there is a complete overreaction to Buffalo because they had 7 possessions and scored 7 touchdowns. I mean, this is a team that barely was able to score against the Jets in week 18.
Right.
And I still think at any time the Chief defense can sort of collapse. What's your take on Buffalo KC? Because that is the game of the weekend.
I'm just going to roll with Buffalo only because I think, and you're right, and what would scare me is that now the momentum is, there's such an overreaction because Buffalo spanked New England. Such an overreaction. Normally I'd go the other way. But in this particular case, I've been on Buffalo before the year, before the postseason as being the team. Here's my rationale. And you could go with all the logic in the world. It usually doesn't play that way. Now, this past weekend, logic won a lot. Obviously, the majority of favorites won and covered and blew them out. So if you're going based off of logic, you had a decent weekend, but it doesn't always work that way. Logically, with this game. I mean, you would say, oh, well, okay, it could be a tough battle with the Chiefs, but they've been there before. I'm taking out logic and just going with, do I think a team with the Chiefs who weren't great to start this year, are they getting back to a third Super Bowl? So I don't know if it's law of averages or just odds. I think it's going to be something different. That's why when I look at the beginning of the year, I would go somebody like Buffalo. I don't believe in the Titans, so I throw them out as the top seed. I'm not going with the chalky favorite who's been there twice with the Chiefs. That leads me to Buffalo. Based on nothing going into this game as far as matchups, other than I feel like it's the Bills' time. That's it.
Yeah. I think last week, to me, last week was extremely logical in that, you know, the Steelers had absolutely no business being in the postseason.
Correct.
Roethlisberger is completely shot. So that result wasn't a shock. Brady and the Bucs destroying the Eagles, not a shock at all.
But usually it's not that easy. And you're right. That's what I mean by logic. You look at those matchups.
Here's what it comes down to. The league more than ever, you know this, more than ever, it's a quarterback league. It's all about the quarterback. So Roethlisberger's shot, he's out. Jalen Hurts, not a great quarterback.
Right.
He's home. Who's left? Mahomes, Josh Allen, Rodgers, Brady. Mm. The Garoppolo won. Now, in that game, I don't think neither quarterback is great. I think Prescott's a better quarterback than Garoppolo, but you have a coach who doesn't know how to coach a game on the Cowboys side. So that sort of...
And that game was weird, too. See, this is why, and a lot of times, truth be told, like, I don't want to hear anybody else's picks going in, and you can't avoid it. You're on Twitter, you listen to whatever, they're all over the place, but... It shouldn't, but it alters the way I think. I'll give you an example.
Now, Everybody picked the Niners, so you went with the Cowboys.
Exactly. Now, I have liked the Cowboys a lot of the year, right? And going in that game, I was like, oh, man, this is the one matchup I don't want because I like both these teams in the NFC. I don't want them going head-to-head. And my initial gut was I like the Niners. And then I saw the whole world is on the Niners, which brings me back to the Cowboys. Turns out logic was right and the public was right, which is rare, and the Niners ended up beating him and it was a sloppy game. But same thing with the Chiefs, right? You look at that Chiefs game, and I know you were on it, and a lot of people were like, oh, come on, how could the Steelers possibly compete? Roethlisberger himself, I know he didn't mean it, but he basically said the same thing. So I'm thinking, is it really going to be that easy? Maybe the Steelers can compete. No, wrong. Eagles, same thing.
I disagree on the comparison of those two games. San Fran, Dallas are close teams. And the game ended up being a 6-point game. And, you know, if McCarthy knew what he's doing, who knows what happens there. The other game was not competitive because the Steelers have zero offense. And if you have zero offense and you're going to go play the Chiefs in Kansas City, you know, if the Steelers played the Raiders, it's a different story. The Steelers had no chance against.
I'm talking about with the lines too. But my point is, why then is it only 12 and a half? Because in reality, it could have been 20.
That's a huge number for a playoff game.
Well, but that's my point. So I'm looking at it saying it can't just be as easy as Steelers stink. Well, the same thing with the Bucs and Eagles. You're looking at those teams. The Eagles aren't very good. They shouldn't have been in the playoffs. So, it worked out where logic. And sometimes you get the backdoor cover where I thought that might be the case with the Eagles or even the Steelers going into the game. Obviously, it didn't play out that way. But anyway, logic won out, and it made it, you know, the Bengals-Raiders game was a good game. The Bills, I think a lot of people were split on that one as far as the spread goes. I personally like the Bills, but maybe thought the Pats would keep it close. It was just a weird weekend with these non-competitive. Do you realize there were two lead changes the entire weekend? Two.
Yes. Yep.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, listen, San Fran and Dallas was really, and the Bengals and the Raiders, those were the two games that were anything out of all of them. So, yeah, when you get two out of six, it's a problem. It'll be better this weekend.
You're not a big, oh, well, this happened last time. So, like, what does it have to do with this week? Which it doesn't. But, like, in my mind, so off of last week where you had the majority of home favorites cover, do you look at this week and say, well, it's bound to happen where road teams and upsets are going to take place?
No, I don't. I think it's about who's hot. I think it's about the quarterbacks. I don't really go into, I love the Bengals. I just think, listen, there's four games this weekend. In my head, you want to be on one underdog, one road team, sort of, you know, it's not going to be four favorites. You don't expect four favorites. So I know I'm going to go with the Bengals as the underdog. I love the Packers, as I said, because of what's going on with Garoppolo. And I'll bet the Bucks because I always bet Tom Brady. And then that fourth game, I have no feel for. So
what is the line in that Bucks game? You have that Bucks Rams?
Yeah, they're only the Tampa's only a 3-point favorite.
And everybody's going to be on the Rams. And unfortunately, I'm not rooting for the Rams. My gut is saying Rams, but I'm rooting.
I do think the Bucks. The one thing that would give me pause with the Bucks is with no Antonio Brown, no Godwin, they're banged up. And now, oh, and their offense. If those offensive linemen don't play, I probably won't bet the Bucks. They, you know, they lost two offensive linemen in that game last week. So I'll probably skip that. Give me, did you, I know the answer is you watch none of Nickelodeon during the San Fran Dallas game.
Yeah. And here's why. This is not
well,
a
you're
knock.
An adult.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, what I don't understand is, and I have no problem with it. For the record, I love Nate Burleson, love Noah Eagle. I watched a little bit of it last year with the Bears Saints game. I was like, okay, whatever. But I'm a 42-year-old adult, and what I have a hard time comprehending is why so many people on my Twitter timeline give a crap about Nickelodeon. I'm assuming they're not 15-year-olds that I'm following. It is not for you or I. It's for young people. My 5-year-old niece, not for me.
You're the best.
Isn't that true, though? It's not a knock on the broadcast.
I will say this. When they had the Nickelodeon game last year, which was Saints-Bears, I think I watched the entire game on Nickelodeon.
Why though? Because I remember watching it too. Was it just
because
it was
the first time they did it and I wanted to see what it was like and I enjoyed it.
I watched like
Nate
5 minutes of it.
Yeah. And I love Nate and I like, you know, Noah Eagle. We love Ian. So I enjoyed it. So I stuck with it and it's Saints Bears. It's not doing anything for me.
But the bigger the game.
Now this year, Niners Cowboys, I wasn't fooling around with Nickelodeon. I was locked in on Nance and Romo the whole time. Didn't even flip over to it at all. You know, basically forgot about it because I was like, now this brings me to the, you know, because this is the conversation we've had almost every week about the Manning cast. If it's a big game, you want to watch the regular traditional broadcast, you're going to go Manning cast. So for the Nickelodeon wasn't even an option for me. I watched the entire Niners Cowboys on CBS. Now with Rams Cardinals, did you dip into the Manning cast?
You know what's weird? And I love having this conversation. We've talked about it all year, as you said. I did not. And I've been a huge Manning cast fan, even to a point where we've talked about it during the big Monday night games. Oh, I don't know if I could do it. And I found myself going back to the Manning cast. However, I did not watch 1 second of this dreadful playoff game on the Manning cast.
See, and I watched that whole game on the Manning cast.
Wow. That was because it was a blowout or you were
I
just...
I think I'm addicted to... Well, first of all, I knew The Rock was going to be on. So
right
there, I'm in.
You're like, in.
That's right. It. The Rock follows me on Twitter if anyone doesn't know that.
You're in, right.
I'm in. And I was very happy with the fact that they did 3 guests as opposed to 4, which has been a big theme of ours.
What quarter did they leave a guest out?
Let's see. I know Fitzgerald was on in the 4th. The Rock was on in the 2nd. And then Russell Wilson. I don't know if he did the 3rd or the 4th. Because by then, I wasn't really even paying attention to the
game. So nobody in the first quarter?
No. Larry Fitzgerald was on in the 1st quarter.
Oh, he was on the 1st. I'm sorry.
And then The Rock was on in the 2nd. And then Russell Wilson was on sometime in the 2nd half. But by the I was out of that game. Right. It was
me
not
too.
Watchable. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting because I just, you know, again, with the Manning cast, here's why I like it. It's entertaining. It entertains me while a football game is going on right. In the background. In this particular spot with a playoff game, I didn't want any of that nonsense. And I got to be fair, I thought Levy, Greasy, and Riddick did a very good job. I haven't really listened to them do a full game. The way I judge announcers is if they don't annoy me, I'm okay with them. And that broadcast, not only did they not annoy me, I thought that they were pretty good together. So I enjoyed it, but I didn't want to mess around with watching Peyton and Eli mess around. I wanted to watch the football game, even though it turned out to be dreadful.
Well, I was not as fired up for Rams Cardinals as I was some of the other games. So that's one reason why I got into the Manning cast. And then the game was just by the middle of the 2nd quarter, the game was over.
Right.
So then I had no problem sticking with the Manning cast. It was, you know, and watching Peyton react to Kyler Murray's horrific play was hysterical.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo. and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
I don't really have much else in the sports world. I do have one thing TV related. Did you watch when it was on How I Met Your Mother? And are you going to watch How I Met Your Father?
I have not watched it. I heard it was great. I just never got into it.
I really loved it. I don't watch it ever on repeats. I never put it on wherever it's streaming. I watch it when it was on originally on CBS, and I've never gone back and did like a second viewing. I think I'm going to dip into How I Met Your Father.
Now, is it with the same actors?
No, I don't think. I don't believe so. Hilary Duff is in the new one. I don't think you have like Neil Patrick Harris. And
right. Didn't they do a spinoff of that already or no?
You know what? They may have.
Or maybe I'm getting it mixed up with, well, there was another popular one that's on
CBS. No, they may have, but I don't think it did well. I don't know.
Did you complete Cobra Kai?
Not yet.
Okay.
The weekend bogged me down with the football.
How many seasons you in so far?
I've got three done, and I think I'm in like the middle of the fourth season.
Which is the current one, right? This is the fourth? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You love it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, see, for me, when you binge something like this, like now I did love it, and now I'm like, okay, let's wrap it up.
Let's get to it.
It's 4 years, you know. Listen, it is amazing. I feel like every show that I watch, it's like by the max is 5 years. And then after that, it really starts to fall off a cliff.
I do think you're probably, now remember, there we watch this in different ways. I binged, I think, the first two seasons. Right. Then I had to wait a whole year for season three. Then I had to wait a whole year for season four. I do think that's different than you watching first two seasons right into season three, where maybe there's a little drop off.
But I think every show just declined. I mean, even Seinfeld, I hated, well, I shouldn't say hated. I never watch episodes from those last two seasons, like eight and nine. It got so, and you can't compare, I think, anything past any of those seasons past season five to those first five seasons. I mean, I think writers just run out of ideas for characters and,
it becomes so far from what it, or at least far from what it once was.
That's the benefit of HBO. I mean, they do like 10 episode season. You know, even Cobra Kai, I guess it's 10 episodes. You know, back, you know, when you talk about network TV, which nobody watches anymore. I mean, Seinfeld, Friends, Cheers, those, they would churn out like, you know, 28 episodes a season. Now with streaming and the way everything's changed, these series are usually like 10 episodes a season. So I guess that could prolong a show and give it some longevity.
Yeah, I never really, I mean, you're right. Some of these, and some of them are so bad, or I remember start watching some, I don't know the specifics and there's too many to even name, but you're into it the first year, second year. I'll give you one, Billions. I remember watching Billions and I was like, all right, this is pretty good. First or second year on Showtime. And then by the third season, I was like, especially now with all the options that are out there, you've got to really keep my attention and have me get interested in it. And I'm just like, I'm up wasting an hour or 40 minutes of my life forcing myself to watch this. So you cut it off and move on.
I don't know if it's like an OCD, anal retentive, I don't know, weird personality thing. I could probably give you like one or two times it's ever happened where I've watched a show and then stopped watching it. Like, you know, seasons. And like, I think the one show I know I did it with was Entourage.
Interesting.
Like, middle of season two, I'm like, this is literally the same exact episode every week. The guy's trying to get into a movie. The short manager wants to get him in a movie. And then they have a fight with the guy who yells, Jeremy Piven. And then that's the episode. I can't think of another show besides Entourage where after two, three, four seasons, I stopped watching it.
I've done it with at least three. I told you Billions. Then there's one, Blacklist with James Spader. I was into that for a little bit, and I was just like, oh, God, I can't take it anymore. I cut that off the DVR. And then there's another one that was more recent. It was about a plane crash. I forget the name of it, but even that, where I was like, I can't. I just have no
idea. Oh, Lost, probably.
No, that one, it was like a poor man's version of Lost. It was out more recently.
Yeah.
But I actually loved Lost, and I got through it. It was one, the first three seasons of that, I'd put up against anything. Did you ever see that show or no?
It's so funny. That's one I gave up on. I watched probably However many seasons it was, I stopped before the last two seasons, I think.
Right. The first three seasons of Lost, yeah, I thought, were some of the best TV I've ever seen. But four, five, and six were you're just watching it to finish it off. So, right. But there was another show recently. I forget what the hell it was called. I forget, whatever. It's a show on TV about a plane crash. It was good the first couple seasons. Then I was like, what are we doing watching this? Let's move on to something else.
Let's
move on to Real Housewives.
Oh, God. I've never watched a second of a housewife show.
Well, you're not married.
So you watch them with your wife?
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm like, why am I even watching this? I come in the room and she's watching. And I'm like, you're watching this crap again. Whatever show, maybe 90 Day Fiance, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I mean, you name a town. Atlanta, Orange County, Vanderpump Rules. I mean, all these different shows. And I'm like, why are you watching it? And then the next thing, you know, I'm asking her, hey, don't watch that yet. I want to sit down and watch it with you.
Oh, no.
They suck me in. I'm a sucker for it.
Brutal. That's brutal.
They're actually entertaining. I was like that with the Kardashians for a while, where I was into the Kardashians, then I quit it. And then anytime if I'm in front of the TV flipping around and the Kardashians episode comes on, I can't stop. I got to get away from the TV. I'll be there for 40 minutes. I'll be there all week watching these episodes.
I'm with you on the Kardashians. I did watch that.
Do you still watch the whole thing? Is it even still going or no?
No, it's over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I checked out a while ago.
I'll always love Kim. That's all I
got. How did it end? Kim's doing.
Now they're gonna have a new show. They moved like off of E to like now they're gonna stream a new show. I think only knows how much money they're making.
No, I can't get hooked in that. But the reality stuff, I know you're Jersey Shore. I love.
I know you're a big Kanye guy. Can we get Kanye into control here? He's like crashing birthday parties and.
What's the latest? Now I like his music. He's out of this. I mean, he's gone. Obviously, he's gone in a total different direction. What did he do? He's mad that. I mean, I think he's upset that Pete Davidson is dating Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, but he's got a new girlfriend now. Julia Fox from Uncut Gems. So, like, you know, how could you be mad if you're got your own thing going on?
That's the girl from Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that movie.
I know.
I mean, the movie wasn't great, but.
Kanye's got to move on. last thing, are you still annoyed by all of the Wordle tweets every day?
Oh, I think I'm even more annoyed to a point where I've almost tweeted at some people like, hey, no one gives a crap. Stop. Is there a way where they could do it but not have it show up in the Twitter feed?
You can mute the word Wordle.
Oh, okay. I never saw your tweets on there. Do you do it?
Because I don't tweet it. I don't tweet it.
But that's what I'm saying. So why would people tweet it?
Because that's what people do on Twitter. It's, you know, why do people tweet anything?
For attention.
Like you said, everyone tweets their picks. Nobody cares about someone's picks.
Right. It's the biggest force going.
That's what Twitter is. It's a dumping ground for people to be attention whores.
Which I can't stand. It's the biggest turnoff in the world to me. Attention cravers.
That's why you've had issues with Twitter over the years.
It's exactly right, amongst other things.
I would love to see you reply to someone and say, can you not tweet this?
I almost did. I will probably do it.
Don't do it. Stay out of trouble on Twitter.
If I'm friends with somebody, hey, nobody cares about your Wordle, please. I barely care about your opinion. I certainly don't care about your Wordle.
I think what I just saw on Twitter right before we signed on is two guys we know and like a lot. Adam Schein from CBS Sports, I think, tweeted your sentiment that he doesn't want people to, he wants people to stop tweeting their Wordles.
Good.
And Chris Carlin, who we like from ESPN Radio, responded and said, now I'm going to DM you the results.
Yeah. See, Carlin was one of the guys in my Twitter feed that I was thinking of. I didn't want to name names. You did. So there you go. I see the Wordle.
If you tell
pop
Carlin
up,
to stop, he's going to DM it to you. So be careful. All right, Sal, have a good week and enjoy the playoffs. Hopefully you get better games this weekend.
Thanks. Yeah, good luck this weekend to everybody. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take it easy. All right, my thanks to Jim Nantz and Sal Licata for coming on and joining me on this week's SI Media podcast. If you missed any recent episodes, dip into the archives. Last week, Richard Deitch from The Athletic was on for a very fun conversation as we reunited on the pod. 2 weeks ago, Al Michaels and Tom Rinaldi with a little tribute to John Madden episode. 3 weeks ago, where we closed out 2021 with a roundtable with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff. All those in the archives. So if you can subscribe, rate, and review, helps tremendously, and it is appreciated. All right, we'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Stay safe and take care.
At
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than a quarter million satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.